people to come along. There's a whole range of activities. You'll be able to engage with the sporting activity here in Glasgow, with the kayaking on our purpose-built course just down the road there at Pinkston Basin. I've mentioned the fitness trail. You can come and stay in our Lochside cottages. Or you can just walk your dog, of course, if you're of that mind. And, you know, the great thing about the canal is that we join the urban area to a rural area, so you can walk, or you can indeed cycle from Edinburgh to Falkirk and go through a cityscape into an open countryside. So there's very much something for everyone.
And going back, I suppose, to the crux of today's programme, and that would be, you know, people finding out more about their own family. And, of course, canals would have provided a lot of work during the Industrial Revolution, and you can kind of maybe get a sense still of what life might have been like working in the canals.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the canals weren't... The canals were the heart of communities. In fact, many of the communities that are now on the canal are only there because of the canal. They offered employment, they offered a focus in life, as they still do. It wouldn't have been pretty living, I think, in the Industrial Revolution. You know, it would have been a reasonably hard and difficult life. But that's a reflection of the times. I think William Symington would have... Well, he came from not a wealthy background. He was obviously a self-made man in that sense. He would have perhaps been what you might... Well, he was a professional. He would have been an upper-middle-class kind of gentleman, probably earned, you know, £80 a year or something. It's a reasonable wage for that period. So I think he may have been in a little different situation. I don't doubt he would have had his sleeves rolled up and would have been on site and, you know, getting stuck in. But it would have been different to the life of the navigator or the navvy, where we are looking at quite, well, you know, a raucous life, shall we say.
And from a historical perspective, is there a canal museum? Is there anywhere people can go?
We don't have a canal museum, but there is various user groups that do. So I would recommend there's a small museum at Linlithgow in the Linlithgow Basin, and they've got a very nice range of artefacts there. We've just undertaken a study of our artefacts, everything that isn't buildings, in that sense, anything you can hold in your hand, and we're now looking at actively seeking a place to deposit those. So we will be in negotiations with museums, and we've written this into our 25-year heritage strategy. So it is something we're personally addressing. There's the Transport Museum in Glasgow, of course, and there's the Clyde Bank Museum. They'll have general information on transport and the Industrial Revolution from that era. So we don't have a museum at present, but we're heading...
In the right direction.
Well, we're heading in the direction that we need. We need museum professionals to take over that. So we're very keen to put that out for public research. So we've written it into our strategy.
But in the meantime, of course, you know, people can enjoy these great waterways for themselves.
Well, absolutely. I mean, the whole thing is a museum, of course. It's an open-air museum. It's a scheduled and ancient monument, or it's scheduled under the Scheduled and Ancient Monument Act 1979. And that tells us, that's the Scottish ministers deciding that the canals have the highest of safeguards, and it's in recognition of their national historical importance. So in that sense, you are on the museum. These walls you see here are original. The canal wall outside is original. The building just next door to us is from the late 1700s. So... late 1800s, excuse me. So, with a little research, you could make a good day out just going from node to node like that. That's what I would suggest.
Okay, thank you very much. Lovely to meet you.
My pleasure.
Cheers.